Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We are in the lovely Saki Records, the cleanest record store in all of Chicago. They have that reputation. Give it up for Saki. It's a wonderful spot. For the listener at home, we started a little bit late because we tried to make this an intervention and set up the seats in a circle. That's not a joke. Why did I think that was a good idea an hour ago? I'll never know, and I won't learn from my mistake. If you ever come to this show again, we'll be doing it in the round at Saki Records, 3716 West Fullerton. I think that's close to your address. Is it the actual address? Fantastic. I'm nailing it. I'm having a very interesting week. Here we go. All right. So I'm the editor of a website called Brightest Young Things. Even though I am in my 30s and young is in the title, that is my day job. Anyways, I get to talk to interesting and or people that think they are interesting all day, every day. And sometimes it's very fun. Earlier this week, I got to interview Hutch. Hutch is the lead singer and main songwriter for the band The Thermals. Now, The Thermals are a fantastic band out of Portland that I've been enjoying for, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. And the main reason why I enjoy that band is because there's this great, amazing record about Christianity and God, or lack thereof, whatever, who gives a shit, called The Body That Blew the Machine. It's a fantastic record, and I used to listen to it all the time at The Hungry Brain, and I feel weird saying that because the owner of The Hungry Brain, former owner of The Hungry Brain, because The Hungry doesn't exist anymore. Anyways, she's here. That's an aside that no one needed to know, but I had to reference out loud because that's how my brain works. Anyways, I told the guy from The Thermals, hey, I used to listen to your album at The Hungry Brain all the time. He's like, I don't know what any of that means, and I said, I don't give a fuck. I'm the best. No, he was a fine man. He seemed like a really nice guy that would shop at a place like Saki Records, and it was a waste of time for both of us. There was no meaning, there was no reason to have this conversation. There was no expression of ideas. There was no revelation of soul. There was no dialogue about anything important. It was just like, what do you like to read? Like, who gives a shit? I don't know, but I don't care about your band is what I'm trying to say. We have Gabe Leibowitz here tonight. He's going to play some songs. He's fantastic. Anyways, I genuinely care about Gabe. Now, I don't know if I care about Gabe because I like his music, which I do, or because we've actually had conversations and made eye contact. Maybe you need to be in the room with somebody to get something out of them. Maybe that's the problem. These are all over the phone. Earlier today, I interviewed the current WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I don't think it's a heavyweight championship, but it's called championship. Anyways, I interviewed Seth Rollins. Now, you might know Seth Rollins even if you don't know wrestling because he feuded with Jon Stewart. And if you've ever listened to this show, I know you know. I know you watch The Daily Show. So it's that guy. I got to interview that guy. And if you don't know The Daily Show, and you don't care about wrestling, he had a dick pic scandal, so you definitely know who he is. He's got a penis, and he showed it. Anyways, Seth Rollins is a 28-year-old man who, by choice, lives in Davenport, Iowa, because he's from there. And I really respect that, and I'm not joking. And I kept asking him essentially the same question over and over and over again. Why are you doing this? Now, I'm fascinated by the WWE. I'm fascinated by wrestling because it seems like something that will go on forever, and you cannot be more of a cog in a machine than within the WWE. Now, if you're a professional athlete, if you're a football player, a basketball player, a baseball player, you can still get something out of that. You know, you can get, you could probably get a coaching job at a high school even if you suck. It's okay. If you're really good, you could like be the local Coca-Cola guy on the billboards. You see Jimmy Butler selling Mountain Dew here, because if there's one thing the Chicago Bulls second team all defense needs, it's Mountain Dew. And so you can get something from that. Now, the WWE, you end up like the movie The Wrestler. That's how that ends. Everyone knows how that ends. Even the guys within it, they're like, I just love it. This is going to end poorly. Fuck it. Fuck it. Now, I kind of liked him. We actually had a bond. But once again, we were over the phone, and I couldn't really get to the meat of it because around minute 13, just when we started to achieve some sort of reason for existing, a WWE publicist came in and is like, all right, we'll go, I'll wrap it up soon. He had an English accent, so I added a weird, I don't know what that was accent. Anyways, that's not the point. I had one other interview with someone that's relatively famous this week, and her name is Lisa Lampanelli. Now, Lisa Lampanelli is the queen of mean. Lisa Lampanelli is one of my mother's favorite comics. Not joking. My mom has horrible, horrible, horrible taste in comedy. Her second favorite comic is Cat Williams, and we both love him for completely different reasons. She is sincere in her love, and I am not, because irony is fun. I don't fucking know. Because if you don't laugh at a 5'3" guy talking about pimping and just abusing women, you're going to kill yourself. So it's got to be a fun, ironic laugh. Anyways, talked to Lisa Lampanelli, and Lisa Lampanelli no longer is the type of person that made her famous. Now, about 10 years ago, maybe, she got famous by doing these roasts, and she was the queen of mean, and she was a relatively... She was an overweight woman, and she talked about that in her act, and she talked about loving to have sex with African-American gentlemen because she was a larger woman, and that was fine, and that was her thing. And then she kept doing more roasts and more roasts and more roasts, and they were fun and whatever, and it was sort of pandering to the lowest common denominator. And then she had some surgery, and she lost a shitload of weight, and she currently looks like Pink's mother, Pink the artist. Like, this is a... total compliment. Pink is an attractive person, human being. She works out. Good for her. That's not easy to maintain. Lisa Lampanelli's doing it 20 years her senior. Good for Lisa Lampanelli. And Lisa Lampanelli, unlike the thermals guy and unlike the WWE guy, called me on her personal number. Now, I'm not bragging because I got Lisa Lampanelli's number, which is a cool fucking thing. Catch up, guys. What the fuck is that about? I'm so sorry. She actually... has something to lose by doing these bullshit interviews. Those other people don't. I mean, if you like the thermals, you're going to see the thermals time and time again. And if you like the WWE, you're going to watch the WWE. You don't really care about who's the world champion. But if you're someone like Lisa Lampanelli, you could actually fuck up and say something you shouldn't say to anybody because the internet exists and it works. Now, Lisa Lampanelli was very open and honest about her everything. And it was... I told her 5 times in a row, I am shocked that this is happening. You're the queen of mean. You're supposed to, honestly, you're supposed to be a fickle nobody. I'm not supposed to ever learn anything from you. But we had a very in-depth, amazing conversation, and I'm now, no jokes, no irony, a big Lisa Lampanelli fan. That's why I do this show. That's in theory why this show exists. Like, it's great that if you have so many famous on your show and blah, 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 you get to talk to cool people, whatever. But in theory... if I could form a bond with the queen of mean over some shitty things like pandering to lowest common denominator shit and talking about having to kick out an entire table of people in an Ohio comedy club because they yelled the N-word after a Michael Jackson reference, which happened, you should not laugh. Good job. I'm proud of everyone. I just realized I sucked all of the air out of the room. But that's something. That's something worth doing. That's something worthwhile. Now, I realized I probably should have started with Lisa Lampanelli and ended with the Seth Rollins things because there was a dick pic thing and everyone likes dick pics and not everyone likes hearing arguably the greatest pop singer that definitely abused children of being called the N-word. You can just call him a pedophile and that's fine, but don't use the N-word. That's not very controversial anyways. But here's the thing. We have an amazing show tonight. Esmeralda's here. We have Gabe here, and Gabe's going to play some songs. And similar to Michael Jackson, he's from Gary, Indiana. That's true. Similar to Michael Jackson, red hair. Similar to Michael Jackson, had a covers record recorded at Chuba's. Similar to Michael Jackson, fucks kids. Similar to Michael Jackson, makes love. Similar to Michael Jackson's, sings beautiful songs about feelings, emotions, times, places, and other nouns. Is that true? That's true. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to sit here. Is that okay? Are you going to stand? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together yet again for Gabe Lee Woods, everybody.
Top 5 intros I've ever gotten just now. That was great.
Pushing through the market square, so many mothers sighing. The news had just come over. We had 5 years left to cry in. The newsman wept and told us that the earth was really dying. He cried so hard his face was wet, so we knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera houses, favorite melodies. I heard boys, toys, electric lights, and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse. I had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to fit everything in there. And all the fat, skinny people. And all the tall, short people. And all the somebody people. So many people. hit some tiny children. And if the black had the throne of life, you know, I think she would have killed them. A soldier with a broken leg fixed his gaze to the wheel of a Cadillac. A cop knelt down, kissed the foot of a priest, and the queer threw up at the sight of that. I thought I saw you in an ice cream parlor, drinking milkshakes cold and long, smiling and waving and looking so fine. I don't think you knew you were in the song. And it was cold and it rained and I felt like an actor. And I thought of my ma and I wanted to go back there. Your face, your race, the way that you talk.
Gabe Leibowitz, everybody. The very talented Gabe Leibowitz. Gabe, I am currently reading a book called Bowie on Bowie. It's an interviews book. Really little context. It's a fantastic read, and I highly recommend it.
Okay.
You. Okay, I'm going to move over here. That was fantastic. That was Gabe Holby around the whole night. With he's going to be my Kevin Hubes for the show. Anyways, Merle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Medium. Okay. I like your outfit tonight. For the listener at home, she's wearing a ball gown.
I wish.
And shoes that look very difficult to walk in.
No, not really, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Are those called chunks?
Is it, no.
What are they called?
These are called wedges.
Wedges.
I think.
Oh. I don't think chunks. I mean, I understand why that doesn't make
chunks.
Sense. I thought it was chunks.
No, don't really want to be like, hey, you going to wear your chunks tonight? No, it's not really a good... Good try, though.
Well, your chunks look fantastic
well,
tonight.
Well, thanks a lot.
They look... How long did it take to, like, walk in those? Like, was there a training...
Oh, I didn't wear these here.
Oh, okay, fair, fair. That makes more sense.
No, I don't do that.
She biked here because she lives in a city.
Yeah.
For the people listening at home, move to a city.
Well, and, you know, I don't want to spend money on the CTA anymore.
CTA.
Don't want to spend money.
Giant ripoff. It's a total waste of $225 to travel maybe a dozen miles within a city for $225. Total ripoff. Just stealing money from you. The CTA.
Yeah.
Okay. Since this is a talk show, we are legally required to talk about current events. What are the current events that you'd like to chat about tonight?
Well, all right. So I was thinking about what to do all since you told me we're doing this. And I thought... I was going to tell you, because it came up, things that are of my nightmares, two things that are of my nightmares, and then a nightmare.
Let's do it.
So the two things that are of my nightmares are these two articles I saw about flying spiders that are, they're essentially all these baby spiders, and they're slamming into all the buildings downtown. And one of the hotels, the Hilton, told people not to open their windows because the spiders will come in. And there's a lot of them. But it happens everywhere, but this just it just became news that here. I know you're frightened.
No,
I was frightened as well.
I'm not frightened. I'm fascinated.
Oh, I'm frightened.
Why?
I do not need them in my house.
There are already spiders in your
no,
house.
No, don't say that.
Like, no, but there
as
are.
As many as I probably eat, I
yeah.
still don't want to know that they're around.
You like food, right? You like to go
eat at
restaurants?
I know. Yeah, they're probably in there.
Most of your diet is spiders.
I know. What's no, the... I know. As long as it's not in the shape of a spider, I'm okay.
Did you want to talk about that just because he played a David Bowie song?
No, I didn't even think about that.
Even better.
No, you're so the second story. So really, this is the second story is in Australia. They got so many goddamn spiders that there's just webs everywhere, and it looks like a fucking Halloween ghost town. in someone's like backyard. Like that's what it looks like. Like they decided to make a haunted house in this whole neighborhood.
And you said this is in Australia?
Yeah.
Do you think
it's frightening?
Do you think the teens in that Australian community are actually happy?
Because
every sad goth punk kid would be like love if their entire neighborhood looked
like that.
They're
all making music videos right now.
Yeah, they are the coolest. The webs. What do you do if you're a goth teen and then you wake up and your community looks like your dreams?
They just go, oh.
But like, do you have
to show
happiness? How do you rebel? I'm gonna be a banker now. Fuck
it. Yeah, I guess I gotta do the opposite.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the two that I was thinking of, and then my nightmare.
Because if there's one thing people love to hear, it's other people's dreams.
Well, no, I only want to say this only because when I woke up, I was like, wow, this would make a fantastic series. Maybe Showtime, HBO. So I'm really just doing this. So I have trademark, you know, so if anybody steals it, I have it on record.
That's how this works.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I'm doing this
Everyone
for.
Knows podcast law. Don't worry about
so,
it.
So yeah. No, right? Creative license or whatever?
Yeah, that's what we meant.
So, like, if someone steals it, I'd be like, no, I talked about it on this podcast.
What is it?
It's mine. So, it's, you know, everybody's all in the vampire thing. So, I had this dream about these vampires. One, very different because it's a whole Mexican family who runs a prison. And they're all vampires. And one of them is Gael Garcia Bernal. Come on. You want to watch that. You'd want to watch that.
Why?
Why? Because they're good-looking vampires.
So they're but who's in the prison?
Oh, prisoners. I don't know.
And they're.
I didn't get that far in my dream.
Let's hash this out. So it's a prison run by vampires. So
but nobody knows.
So
that
all they
vampires.
Have to do to make a break is wait till daylight.
Yeah, but nobody knows. No, and then there's also zombies in there somehow. I essentially had episodes in my dream.
But, okay, what happens in one of these episodes?
So one of them is some sort of, I don't know what it was, but it was some sort of dramatic thing. And then someone opens a door, and there's dramatic
music. Do you realize the question was essentially, what is that dramatic thing?
No, wait for it. It's dramatic, and then they open the door, and, what? It's the vampire brothers who own the prison. They're, for some reason, cooking without shirts on. Yeah.
You're just talking about porn.
No, but then...
You want to see a bunch of hot vampires without shirts in a prison.
Well, Gael Garcia Bernal. And then I think maybe Mario Lopez or some sort of equivalent to that.
That's just porn. You're thinking of porn.
No, well, they're not going to do the porn, but they would do an HBO series. I'm sure they would.
Okay, yeah. I think everyone listening to the podcast is 100% sure. Mario Lopez.
No, this is the best part.
Let's end with the best part.
This is the season finale, I assume, in my mind.
How many episodes per season?
10?
Okay.
Hour long? You know.
Great.
I think maybe we
You're
can make
a prolific
it into a movie.
Dream writer.
Yeah, everyone loves that True Blood. So the last bit, like, things go haywire in the prison. People are running around. Zombies are attacking things. The vampires are trying to figure stuff out. They can't really. And so because of the haywire business and how we all know vampires have those like groups, like they have societies or whatever, the head boss vampire shows up and guess who it is? Sean Penn. Come on. This would make amazing TV.
Sure. You did it. You just made $1 million.
So give me a call. Sean Penn.
Sean Penn.
He's listening, right?
Mario Lopez.
Yeah, Mario Lopez listens for sure.
HBO and or Showtime.
I feel
Don't
like
limit
I've
your
been
options.
Watching, I feel like I've been watching Extra, and he's kind of name-dropped us.
Good.
I think.
He uses a lot of pronouns, like
he said,
you.
Yeah, he said you, me, them, everybody. He didn't say them all at once.
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course.
But he said them in an episode, so I
Everyone
just thought,
knows Mario Lopez is a big fan of YMT. That's why we do this. This is essentially a Mario Lopez, Sheryl Crow tribute
so
podcast.
So I'm gonna throw this offer out. If you want a producing credit, Brandon, you too, Gabe, all of you, we could do this.
What
now.
Do we need to do? Do we have to give you the money to make it?
No, I don't know. Maybe.
Do you know what a producer does?
I don't know.
There's two types of producers. There's executive producer and there's producer.
Oh, well, I would be executive producer because I
You're
going to
fund
up.
It?
No, I mean, HBO would fund that, right? Showtime, AMC.
Oh, AMC. We're expanding the net. Okay.
As Hulu? Long as we're... I don't know.
You're not going to see any butts or boobs if
All
you're
right,
on
well,
AMC.
Well, then let's go to Netflix. We'll
okay,
go to
we're
Netflix.
Going to Netflix. Full frontal... Gabe, you got any songs about Mexican vampires, zombies in prison?
No.
Why don't you just
play
it?
Well, you should make some because we're going to need some soundtrack for this series.
Could you play a song? You don't have to. We could just sit in silence.
Oh, like right now?
At your leisure.
This was nice.
You're going to murder us?
Okay. Here's another song, folks, after a popular demand. Here we go.
Please call an album F due to popular demand. Could you please play it out of tune?
Tuning it up.
I want you to play it out of tune. Play a Sonic Youth song.
Here we go. This is an original song. I wrote it. Me.
I dug out the alley, caked in dust, into the city, gleaming rust. All the women in New York City, they think that I'm funny and wild. And I wanna have them all, I wanna stay, and I wanna have them all. So I look you women in the eyes. I feel your souls beating till you're paralyzed. Then I ride the landscape past the green rolling hills. And I'm far gone.
Talented man. I'd be afraid to date you. Because I'm assuming some X's are in some lyrics.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Ooh, is he the male Taylor Swift?
That's me. I've been told that.
Just now.
Just because you're blonde, or?
He ain't blonde.
I'm not blonde.
Okay.
Set the record straight. What are you? If you're not a blonde.
I'm a male Taylor Swift.
What's up, bro?
That's me. She's,
all right.
Baby, now we got bad blood.
I feel like that would have gotten a better response in any other room.
I got a good response.
What would happen if he dated Taylor Swift?
Only one way to find out.
What kind of songs would come out of that thing?
Okay.
Do you want to date Tay-Tay?
Yeah. She's got some baggage.
Too bad. She's taken. As of probably until next week or something.
Who, right? Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Love is love. Who's she dating?
Calvin Harris.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Look at us being DJ. Topical.
I'm on top of it.
I love DJs. DJs play music. I'm a fan of music. It makes sense. She's a musician. That is the perfect intro for our guest. Ladies and gentlemen, the biggest Taylor Swift fan in the room, please put your hands together for Alicia Swizz, everybody. Alicia, come to the stage. Wow. We're working with a little bit of room tonight. A little bit of room tonight.
How do you know I'm the biggest Taylor Swift fan in the room?
Because you're wearing boots. You're wearing boots, and I've seen a photo of Taylor Swift wearing boots.
Done. I like your logic.
Yeah, I'm full of it. Logic. I bet there's a shitty podcast called I'm Full of Logic. Is it this one? Is this what we're doing? Welcome to Professor Blastoff. Okay, Alicia is a funny person that because she's a woman, I defeated her handily at the last show we were at together.
Accurate.
I'm saying the woman thing because of what you do
I'm
for
into
a career.
It. And it's true. You only won because you told a boner story.
Which beats
a John Mayer crush story.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The same monologue I do every Easter was when I was hung on the cross and my penis went through my boxer shorts. And then I was 14 years old, and the way they seat the Catholic school is the little kids up close, so it goes preschool, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. So the preschoolers in the second grade got to see my sweet, hard 14-year-old dick. Because Mary Magdalene disrobed me, and I had a crush on her. And her name is Gianna DeMise, and she is currently married to a Chicago cop. So who won? Me, everybody. Me. Cops hate all Definitely. People, especially black people. I won. Yeah. What are your thoughts on cops? Go.
Oof. I got to go with NWA here. Fuck the police. But the system, not individuals. Look,
no, individuals. All
have you seen my Facebook? There's been lots of debates
as a
about
system,
this.
It's perfect. But as individuals... No, but what your day job is very depressing to me.
Being an adjunct professor at the city college?
But like what you teach.
Oh.
What you write about.
Oh, okay. I teach media and pop culture studies from a gender perspective.
There we go. Gender perspective. Here
gender
we go.
Studies. Feminism.
I was a women's studies major.
I did not know that.
Everyone in this room has heard me talk about this 500 fucking times, and they're sick of it. But you're not, and
no,
you're the guest.
I'm into it.
When I was in college, I thought, but in 10 years, this will all be done. We'll have solved it. So the first question is, what happened?
Good one. What happened? I honestly, holler at your boys. Like, women are getting it. Women are making lots of strides doing their thing.
Standing
up to assaulters just to get their faces slashed on the subway. I mean, it basically happened yesterday.
Stop. That means that's women are doing it?
Usually, for themselves.
For example, I'm going to say it tonight, my Blackhawks are doing it, which means they're winning a game and then making more money because they won the game. And you're saying women are doing it, and that means they're getting they're trying to prevent rape and getting slashed in the face with knives.
Right. That's why I said holler at your boys.
That's a sad they're equivalent.
They're the ones still not getting the clues.
So do you think, how could I help? Oh, boy.
Well, I think the biggest way, honestly, that the thing is, and the reason I say that is because as much as we would like all things to be equal, men, especially white men, still hold the bulk of power, like real power in this country. That's not
my
opinion.
Well, maybe if more people had talk shows and wore suits, you'd have more power.
Well, maybe, but I think I should have power for just being me and doing my fucking girly thing.
Whatever.
And not trying to be like a dude.
That's sexist. You should always be like a cool dude.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite cool dudes? Let's rank them. I'm sorry. That's
cool
that's
dudes.
Not what I wanted to talk about. Okay.
not embarrassing celebrity
crush. I do want to talk about, do you get depressed when you're teaching these kids?
Oh my God, all the time. Yeah. And I had a student raise her hand this semester and be like, yeah, so I'm just wondering, like, is it ever going to get better? Because, I mean, this just all sounds like, even if I'm doing my best and thinking critically and making good choices, I still have, like, the rest of the world to deal with. And I was like, accurate. Mm-hmm. I always tell my students in the beginning of the semester, I'm going to make you hate TV, and I'm sorry. And it's true.
So the answer was no.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten into any fights? In class,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I've had, like, to call security.
No.
Like wait, like, I hate you, dumb white boy. No, I can't.
Wait. But you said you had to call security?
Yeah, I've
Tell
had to call
security.
Which one?
Oh,
yeah.
Both.
I had two girls. Okay, well, we read
hot.
We talk about very heated things like race and culture and media studies. And I showed Boys in the Hood. Holler, and paired it with a reading where a researcher went into, like, inner city communities, did research, and all the patterns that he noticed he published. But if you read it, not really, you know, and my students are intro level, you know, City College students. Some of them are first generation students. Some of them don't have experience reading, like, traditional, like, white people research, because it's very, like, flawed and specific. And so it kind of sounded like you were reading that this community was just, these were just stereotypes. And so I had one girl getting very frustrated, feeling that it was like a stereotypical representation. P.S. She had not read the article and was absent the day we watched the film. And then we had another girl who was just trying to be like, no, this is kind of the point everyone's trying to make, because we have a very, like, you know, it's a very dialogue driven, we sit in a circle, base class. And they just kept yelling at each other because the one girl said the other girl was disrespecting her, and
the one that didn't read the article.
Yeah.
Is she hot? How old is she? Is she DTF? Anyways.
Did they take their shirts off?
Did they do that?
No.
The other person, though, were they the same? Are they of the same race?
They were of the same race. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it's not a race war.
No.
So it's a good story, but not a great story, is what you're saying. So security got called. Anything fun happen after that?
No.
Great.
Had to take a 10-minute break.
Did you pass both women?
Did I pass both women?
Yes.
No. Unfortunately, the one student had already had multiple absences and a constant F. And the other one, I think, got like a C. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Those
aren't
good
grades. Was that the one day she decided to speak up?
No, they both spoke up. The one who got the F, and she spoke up a lot. She was
And just not know what was going on.
I mean, she was speaking from experience, which I don't like to discount, but I try to get all my students and everyone who ever knows me ever to think about their experiences and what they mean within, like, the broader, like, cultural climate, you know? And so, you know, especially with men, a lot of times when you're talking about, like, say, like, women's issues, it's like, but I don't do that. I don't act that way to girls, so it's fine.
Shut up. Okay. JK.
JK.
Is it J.K. Simmons?
I got a blank space, baby, and I'll write your name.
Is that a Taylor Swift reference?
It sure is. I love her. I do really know so many people knew that.
I only like Diet Coke Taylor Swift because she was the spokesman for Diet Coke. And there are
spokeswoman?
No, man. She's a man.
what up, you guys, bro? I am ready. If I can have a moment. You heard it here first. The thing that will show that we have finally made it is the T-Swift Beyonce collabo. And I am just waiting. It's going to be
amazing.
So
if you're not, but if you're like over, like, I don't know, 38 and you're fat, like, you're fucking dead, right? Because those are two hot people. Is that good? Okay. Anyways, let's talk about a fun film that the kids are enjoying. You had a very successful recent essay, Why Mad Max Fury Road is a Feminist Film.
Yes.
Why are you trying to change history? Mad Max, not Mad Maxine. Rand Paul.
Yeah, I think George Miller is trying to change history. And honestly, he wasn't even. He was just like, here's the story I want to tell. Max is the prisoner, right? That's like where we left him. Hey, guys, I have not seen any of the Mad Maxes until this one. You know why?
Because
there's a girl in it. And I was like, oh, Charlize.
Wait, Tina Turner's not a girl?
But she didn't motivate that film. She didn't lead it. I mean, that I was wanting that song.
So you're saying maybe if she had her amazing collaborator, Ike Turner.
Right.
Things would have been a little bit better, a little bit more soulful.
Rude, Brandon.
A little bit more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Legs.
Where's Ike Turner now?
He died.
Exactly.
People die.
Where's Tina motherfucking Turner? Still walking around in those fierce ass heels.
No, she's married to a white. No, wait, stop. She's married to a white dude in France. You want to go marry
him? Exactly. Good. Wait, what you, everyone
this is an American talk show.
American white
this is
dudes.
An American talk
wait,
show.
Wait, did Tina kill Ike? Like, or did he
no,
just die?
No, he just died.
Okay.
Right. Very...
Just I don't know, because you were like, yeah, where is he now? And it's like,
no,
just
he died. He died.
I'm just saying, like,
he died a natural
talk
death.
About Tina
surrounded by
life.
Other women he brutally abused. It was a delight. This is a fun convo, everybody. So the moral of the story is
Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Feminist, simply because the director wanted to tell a story where a woman was doing this thing, rescuing these other women. And he was this director, ally, total awesome white dude, was like, you know, this would be a completely different story if Mad Max was the rescuer. And I don't really know how to tell this story, so let me employ, he employed Eve Ensler, who is from the V-Day organization, who has like real life lived over 20 years experience working with women who actually live in these kind of environments, who are prisoners of war, who are sex slaves, who are rape victims, because that's a real thing all the time, every day, every 6 seconds in America. So, and it's a thing we don't like to think about a lot. And so.
But we talk about it on this show almost every episode. Don't worry. Oh, yeah. One in four, one in three.
He's a women's studies major.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am pro talking about rape and making people uncomfortable. Well, I make eye contact. Listen, guys, it's called Mad Max, not Mad Max scene. Now, here's the problem with this. Seriously, the fact that you even have to write that essay is incredibly depressing.
Totally. Totally agreed.
But can we agree that Charlize Theron
and I don't get paid
is,
for it, even more depressing.
Oh, God, that's horrible. I'm so rich. could we all agree that Charlize Theron is so amazing in the hit
all
film
the
Aeon Flux? That's a real superhero. Form-fitting pleather, am I right, fellas? Because women don't matter, and that's the moral of the story. Aren't you glad you did this?
Did you see Pitch Perfect 2 opening weekend?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
No, I saw it Tuesday, but I was glad because I was torn. I was like, what film do I want to give my money to opening weekend? Because in case you guys don't know, that's where the numbers really count. So if you care about a movie or an agenda, you should go see it opening weekend. And I was like, Two female-driven films. Oh my God! And
what if you just want a torrent? Does it matter when I don't? When
yeah. What if you're just cheap?
Go to the. We go to the Davis in our neighborhood. I'm sure Logan isn't that expensive, but the Davis theater is like $6.50. The popcorn's $3.75.
Yeah, but that's matinee. That's a
give it up
price.
For the Davis theater,
Davis
everybody.
Theater,
that's
Lincoln
a solid
Square.
Plug.
Brown line. I mean, I'm allowed to do that. Chicago oh, local. I mean, I
what
love
if
sake.
I said no and I was like, I am censoring you on these plugs.
This is gonna be one long bleep. Yeah,
we have a very strict AMC only plug.
Regal. I do have a Regal card.
Do you? Wow, oh, disgusting.
You get free popcorn.
It's disgusting.
Free popcorn.
Regal.
That's my only corporate plug.
Pretty hetero with the Regal, some crowns and some kings is all I'm saying.
You can't escape it.
Hey, why did everyone in my women's studies classes hate me? Is it because I was the only straight white male in there? The answer is yes. That's what
it's
happened.
It's possible. There are lots of, I mean, like
yeah,
any kind
a
of
ton
mindset,
of them.
There's extremes. There's lots of radicals. There's lots of people in women's studies classes, especially young women who are talking about things and learning about things for the first time, and they may not feel safe with the
so
white dude.
So, guys, if you're out there, if you want to have some new, some young women learning about new things as 18-year-old in college, all I'm saying.
Yeah, did you raise your hand all the time?
I wonder if, did you get into women's studies just to meet chicks?
Yeah. Because I was like, how could I meet the most amount of people that are attracted to the opposite gender that hate me? This one. I'll do this one.
I date white dudes. I'm a
it's
because totally,
you heard
like,
women's
patriarchal.
Studies and you went, yeah.
I did not. No, I did not.
In bed with patriarchy over here.
I did not date anyone because of my women's studies major at all.
Some of the girls relate to the game, too. I mean, it's a struggle.
I wasn't going there to be like, hey, you want to fuck? No. It's like, hey, so we were all raped here, right? Like, that's what's going on. Okay, cool. let's go to Saki Records, plug and buy some records. You telling me to plug the store as much as possible.
It's like a writing your young just, adult memoir.
You take the 74 bus down the street from Fullerton. There's DePaul. Get off your women's studies class. You buy some records. Go home. Tuesday night music club all night.
Yeah. That's I a bought cult. A feminist book here.
Did you really?
I did.
What did you buy?
Just now I buy I'm going to mess it up, but the first published criticism by a female rock critic, Jessica Hopper.
Yeah.
Chicago lady. Love it.
Nice.
And the book is gorge. It's like gold.
It's called The First Collection of Criticism by a Living Female Rock Critic.
Yes, because girls listen to music.
That was a perfect plug for Not Your Own Materials. And I would like to plug the Gallagher vinyl that's here available at Saki.
How much is that?
It's a $30 picture disc, Record Store Day exclusive. Only 5 remain in the country. All of them are here. Pick up a hop. Pick up a gal and take them both home. Put some Gallagher comedy on. Read some Jessica Hopper. Messages all night long. Sheryl Crow in the background. Make it a triple threat.
Oh, God.
Did you have a fun time?
Yeah,
always. Why don't we plug something of your own instead of Jessica Hopper?
Let's plug my own. Pop Goes Alicia Live is a talk show similar to this one, but a little different.
You got a straight white male host?
No.
Then it's not a talk show.
Straight white girl host.
Not a talk show.
Exactly. Exactly my point,
Brandon.
It's a
chat show.
Thank you so much. It's second Fridays of every single month at the Hi-Hat Lounge right at the Irving Park Brown Line. It's super duper fun.
Ew, Brown Line.
I know. Totally the white people's line, too.
What? Yeah, them brown people. Forget them, right?
No, I know. That's why I don't like it.
High five, brown person.
Yeah.
For the listener at home, Esmeralda's brown.
Yeah.
That's it. I have
I'm
a
blog.
Should I cut that and put it at the top of the show?
No, it's fine. It's fine where it is.
Go to her show or not. It's your fucking life. Live your life. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Alicia Swizz, everybody.
Thank
Alicia,
you so much, everyone. Thank you.
Of course. Gabe, if you play any songs that are written by a woman, I'll be very disappointed in you. Because you're a man.
Okay. Was that an introduction?
Yes. Oh, shit, now it is. That's all. Guys, give it up for this man who better stay in his lane. Gabe, nice. The man with a penis that works sometimes.
Debatable. Okay.
Hence the word sometimes. Leibowitz!
Thank you. It's another song that I wrote. I'm a man. This is about my experience being a man, kind of. So I front a band called Dastardly. We have an album coming out next month, and the last song you heard of this one are going to be on that album. There's a girl in the band, Dastardly. It's not all meant there's a girl. She's very talented.
Boo!
Something's off.
Didn't you just play it? Like, you gotta tune it every time?
That was good.
I mean, I don't know how guitars work, so.
It's like a small harp.
You gotta tune those every time?
I'm just gonna start over. I slept in prickers as the sun slid behind a cool Texas evening in 1905. I dreamt of a woman with thick locks of coal. I saw her and so
touched my hand and cried. I woke up one morning in New Mexico. The sunlight
a lot of curveballs in that one, buddy.
Right. Some plot twists.
Got real tense there for a minute.
With what? Oh, when it was a little first repeat verse. At the beginning? Yeah.
It was different from what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Which is for the best.
I'm like the M. Night Shyamalan of music. Thank you.